give Zayton a permission to share?
I think I did.
No. Not yet,
Yeah,
now.
it's easier. Yeah.
Okay, can you do that, please,
Okay,
so
can
that
you
we can
see?
sort it out?
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Okay,
Are you able
okay.
to see it?
Yeah, we
Yes.
can see it.
All right.
So the teacher will be using your laptop.
Yeah, she'll be using the screen so everybody can see, so she will just talk to the presentation.
No, I also wanted to test her audio now already before the meeting starts. That's why I'm asking. Because we can hear
Okay.
you quite clearly, but if she's going to be presenting, I would want to test her audio now so that when the meeting starts,
Okay,
we don't have this issue.
I'll just ask her to get to come in. Okay.
Okay, please do that so that we sort that
Okay.
before the meeting starts. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Zaitun, you can unshare now, eh? Can you unshare the screen so that when the meeting starts, you'll share it only when the time comes. Thanks.
Hi, Sia. Sia.
Hello.
Hi, we have our DDG Lindy
Yes.
Mashaloko. Hi,
I
you can
think.
test him as well.
Yeah, you can speak. Who
Okay.
is? Yeah, can that person speak? So we can.
Did you hear him?
Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, portfolio committee. I hope you can see me and you can hear me.
We couldn't see you. Well, I think your video is off, but we can hear you quite clear.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So the DG will be using your laptop or your device.
No, I think Zayton is going to be presenting, and then we've got the chief director. Zayton is going to be projecting, and then we've got a chief director on GDYC who's going to be coming in just now, who is going to be running through the presentation, and then the ADG is going to come and introduce the chief because she has got another engagement that she needs to attend to.
The reason I just wanted everyone who's going to speak in the meeting to test their audio before the meeting starts. Hence, you find me calling people in to test everything now. But then if you say they will be using the devices that are locked on now, we are fine then.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we'll be financial sort that out. Thanks.
Chair, can you please test Patronella Linda's microphone? I see she has just joined in. She is the one who's going to be doing the presentation on the DCDT side. Thank you.
Morning, can she speak so we can test if we can hear?
Morning, Chair, can you hear me?
I'm the committee secretary, I'm not the chair.
Oh, you've been promoted.
No, not yet.
Can you hear me, sir?
We can hear you quite clear, ma'am. Thank you. The chair has just joined. Thanks.
Okay.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning,
how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Good, thank you.
And you, how did
all
you
is write? Well.
Everybody?
All is well, Chapter 10.
All is well.
Yeah, yes, I did my best, and only the marker will have to bring that back to me.
I know. I think it's an indication of a past.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, you must ask her if she did not benefit from the spree of exam papers being leaked.
Don't start. You. No, you are not right. You are not. Yeah, no. Yes.
No, thank you very much. We are going to be starting in 4 minutes time. Let's hope that people who want to project their presentations would take this opportunity to do so, so that by 1:30 we start.
Mr. Chair, before we start with the presentation, before we start the presentation, there's two matters that I'd like to raise, so as soon as you're ready. Thanks.
Okay. So maybe you can start, you can raise them now.
Well, they have to do with DCS, so I'd rather wait until I'm sure everybody's ready and
okay.
Has joined. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Acting DG and to your team, good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members of Parliament. I'm trying to...
We would like to see you, Acting DG. Yes.
I was trying to switch on.
No, that's good. That's good. Now, thank you very much. We will be starting soon. I don't think it's going to be a long meeting. We have gone through your documents yesterday, so I don't think it's going to be a long meeting.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, good morning.
Honorable Horn, how are you?
Fine, and you, Chair?
I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Chair, while we have not formally started, may I just engage you on the notice that was now sent out this morning regarding a DCS briefing on Friday? I think it may turn out to be problematic for us, as it is, I know I and the Honourable Jainki, who has been released for a lot of Magistrates Commission work, but we have a Magistrates Commission meeting on Friday. But in addition to that, there is also a party meeting, which I know the Honourable Breitenbach and the Honourable Self are members of. And as it is, it was a day that was not scheduled in terms of the agreed remainder of term program that we would be meeting. So it is a bit of a problem, I think, from our side.
Okay. No, we will discuss it because even Honorable Beidenbach indicated that she would want to raise something with regards to DCS. I think it relates to that one. I think when we are done with the presentation, we can attend to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I think we'll attend to it. I think I will attend to that one. Where is Honorable Sal?
Here I am, Chair.
Oh, how are you, Honorable Sal?
I'm very well, thank you, sir, and yourself?
I'm okay, thank you very much. I thought you had boycotted us.
No, I tried to stay in touch with Correctional Services Matters, Chair.
Yes, no, I think we should do much better next year with regard to the program, especially for Correctional Services. But those are the matters we will discuss next week before we adjourn.
Okay.
Yes. Honorable members, now it's 5:30. We need to start. Good morning to everybody and to the Acting Director General of the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, led by Acting DG Baje, who is going to take us through the presentation, or a person nominated by her. We had invited departments to indicate to us their state of readiness with regard to the implementation of the GBV bills, because as part of our of the public hearings, two issues that arose from the public hearings. One, it was the issues with regard to the text of the bills, and two, the ability of the state to monitor and to implement the GBV bills. So we thought that it would be important that we check with the department that are mentioned in the bills to check their state of readiness. We will not be having one meeting with the department. We will continue. This is going to be part of our continuous monitoring and evaluation with regard to those bills. So on that day, the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies was not prepared. You only came without a presentation. You were expecting us to ask you questions. We're not sure based on what, and we said that we don't work like that. This committee doesn't work like that. We do understand that everybody is busy, but all the committees, all the departments that were busy, some of them were in the middle of exams. Department of Basic Education was present. Department of Higher Education was present in the middle of exams. So we thought that it's important that we have to have your presentation and your side of the story as to why you did not deem it necessary that you should give us your presentation that time. And we found it strange that we should be asked to ask questions when there was no presentation. Over to you, Acting DG.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee. Chair, I must just first, I do apologize for that. I had penned a letter that we were not able to make it to make the presentation. In the main, it's two things. We were, one, held up in the protracted issues around the Section 189 at the SABC. I am leading the monthly monitoring meeting of the SABC with the CEO of the SABC. That was the first thing. The second part is that we still had to coordinate with our entities. We have 11 entities that are reporting with NDCTT, and even after we contacted them, we picked up that they were still not ready. So to that end, Chairperson, I do humbly apologize to the committee members and to yourselves and the House, and that is why I wanted to say it is rather unfortunate that we asked to be asked questions, because your instruction, Chair, was very clear that we needed to prepare a presentation before this committee to actually say our piece. So that is what I just wanted to say. With that, Chair, it was not meant to disrespect the committee. It was not meant to disrespect yourself. Hence, I tried to write the formal letter, and I do apologize. It had not reached your side at the time we were writing the letter, but I did send it through. That was the official position that we had as a department, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Let me check if the other members would want to make comments before we proceed. Honorable Mpuke.
Thank you and good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning.
I just wanted to check. We have received a document from the Department of Communications, and I want to check on, do they understand what was needed into this whole presentation? Because I don't get anything out of it. I want to say it up front. I don't want to lie to you. I want to tell you that if you can check slide 9, 10, and 11, that's what they are supposed to be talking to us. The rest of the things, they don't belong to us at all, because all the departments that came to present, they came with the 3GBV bills, and they said, what is this? That is their part. But into the whole thing, maybe they didn't get the briefing in the right way. That is my understanding. But looking at this, I'm not impressed, and I'm saying it upfront.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpuke. Acting DG, the culture of this committee is that members, they go through the documents before the meeting. By the time a person presents, we do know what is in the documents. Hence, Honorable Mpuke is raising the concern that she is raising. I would just ask that maybe the acting DG make the presentations, respond when making the presentation, respond to the issue that has been raised. Because we might have a situation where we don't even go to the presentation, which would not be good. Can you do the presentation? But bear in mind that there is this concern that you have to address.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation from our side is going to be led by Chief Director Petronella Lenders, who is responsible for the Gender, Disability, Youth and Children, the Chief Directorate within our DCTT. And then we will respond after she has finalized the presentation. With your permission, Chairperson.
Please don't go to your mandate and your overview. Just focus on the issue, your mission, and focus on the issue that we have asked. The issues of mission and vision, please jump that.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you for the opportunity to present. I think that I would like to firstly start by acknowledging the opportunity, and I completely agree with your instruction to focus on the state of readiness of the department. But just to put into context why the background and information was provided. It is essentially because of the fact that the department is undergoing a process of re-emerging as the Department of Communications and Digital Technology. And in that context, it was important to just highlight what that mission, vision, and mandate maintain in the context of what we are discussing, which is the issues relating to the gender-based violence bills. And so I think, having said that, if the chair is and the honorable members are comfortable, I will then move to the slide that deals with the state of readiness of the department, and I will then not go into any of the other slides with regards to the department, because it was merely about setting the tone in terms of explaining the mandate of the department as it relates to the issues that we are discussing. And noting that, especially with regards to the constitutional mandate and the mandate that the department has to ready South Africa for the fourth industrial revolution, and also to indicate that specifically in terms of the department's responsibility in the context of the discussion, it's around looking at the economic and social ability of survivors of violence to be able to look at how they are able to maintain lives after having gone through any trauma related to gender-based violence. And the bills obviously looks at it in its entirety. And for the department, our key areas is around economic and social justice in relation to the bills as per our mandate. If the person that's doing the slides can move to the next slide, please. My apologies, Chair. I am vision impaired, so I would appreciate it if you can go back to the first slide around the state of readiness, please.
Slide 9.
Yes, thank you. So in terms of the department, the first point that we would like to make is with regard to the fact that in terms of our institutional arrangements within the department, we have an institutional arrangement where we have set up a specific structure that focuses on coordinating issues relating to gender, disability, youth and children. And the committee may ask, why is this relevant? But it's relevant in the context that we recognize the fact that survivors of gender-based violence are young people, they are children, they are women, and they are persons with disabilities. And in our context, we look at the coordinated approach in terms of how we implement programs and processes towards supporting issues relating to gender-based violence. So the first thing that we wanted to indicate was the fact that we are ready as far as institutional arrangements are concerned within the department to enable a coordinated approach with regards to the implementation of the bills. The second issue that we want to highlight to the committee is with regards to the fact that the department has targeted programs in its work that deals with gender equality and women's empowerment. And in those programs, the department focuses specifically on how to prevent gender-based violence, but also what support needs to be in place from a digital technological perspective for survivors of gender-based violence. And in this regard, the department then basically has finalized these programs. And in this current financial year, there is a focus on providing digital literacy education to women around how they can use their mobile devices and technology instruments to enable them to report abuse, but also to seek help during the time that they may find themselves in a situation where they are being abused or where they need support. Then the third area is with regards to the mandate of the department. As I indicated earlier, that's why we wanted to give the background. But in terms of the mandate of the department, it is primarily now to look at how do we move the country from an analog country, if we can call it that, to a digital country. And in this process, there is a number of opportunities for the department around ensuring that women, young people, children, and persons with disabilities that may be affected by gender-based violence in the country are not left behind. Because one of the key areas for us is to understand that South Africa is moving to a digital environment where we are going to be digitally focused. And women need to have the power, not to be empowered, but to have the power to participate in that area. And as the department, we believe we are the best place to enable the country to assist survivors of gender-based violence to participate in this digital world, which will enable them to have more power when it comes to prevention as well as post-trauma implementation. So that, and then having said that also, it's also important to note that the other area that the department is focusing on is on economic empowerment of women, because one of the key areas that we have found in the work that we have done is that there are also women that are economically abused, that they are in a situation where they are financially dependent on the person that is abusing them or the domestic violence scenario that they find themselves in, doesn't enable them to move out of that situation. So that is why we feel that one of the opportunities within the whole fourth industrial revolution process is around looking at how we are able to enable women to become economically empowered so that they are able to then have better opportunities to release themselves from situations of abuse. But I would like to note that the other side of the coin is also true, where technology in terms of the fourth industrial revolution can also enable the country to do better reporting, to do better data analysis of what is happening with regards to women in and other survivors of gender-based violence in relation to how they are supported, how they are provided with the necessary support post the trauma, but also what preventative measures can be put in place. So the third point on this presentation slide is relating to how the fourth industrial revolution can enable us. And as a department, we have a number of programs where we are looking at how to do that. The fourth area that we wanted to indicate is that there has been some programs that we've implemented, and those were the programs that we were referring to in the earlier slides, but that we believe that there is an opportunity to increase and to enhance these programs so that we are able to support especially the work that is done with regards to that will be done with regards to the domestic violence bill. Because in the domestic violence bill, there is an expansion with regards to the kind of ways that reporting can happen. There's also a need for online registration of information. And in that regard, there is a need for the department to look at how do we support some of those initiatives, and noting that we've already implemented some programs to this extent, but we would need to review them and look at how do we expand them. And then with regards to the department, as the acting DG indicated earlier, we have a number of state-owned entities that report to Parliament through our minister. And we believe that in the current situation, these entities can play a big role with regards to the awareness that can be raised around
the provisions in the bills, but also with regards to the providing of access to women to services in relation to digital technologies. For example, the Electronic Institute for Media, NAMISA, is our training institute, and they would be able to provide training persons that are affected by this gender-based violence. Secondly, we have the South African Broadcasting Corporation, that is our public broadcaster, that is able to provide awareness. So in this area, what we are trying to emphasize is the fact that we have state-owned entities as the department, which we are working with and which are able to enable us to support the provisions in the gender-based violence bills that has been presented and that is being discussed by the committee. You can move to the next slide, please. May you please move to the next slide? Thank you. Sorry for the delay. As I indicated earlier, committee members, I have a vision impairment, so it takes longer for me to realize that you've moved. So in terms of the next point with regards to readiness, the DCTT has also the responsibility to oversee the implementation of getting the country ready for the 4IR compliance, as I indicated earlier. But taking this a bit further, in relation to 4IR compliance, we have looked at developing a number of instruments with regards to this. And one of them include the digital future skills strategy, where we are going to be skilling South Africans. And we believe that this is one of the areas where we can also support the implementation of the bill through providing citizens with the necessary digital skills so that they are able to take processes forward. The other area with regards to 4IR is with regards to the new technologies that will be introduced, such as artificial intelligence, where we are able to utilize that, especially with regards to data collection, as I noted earlier. And then thirdly, there are also the areas where we are looking at using augmentative and virtual reality in terms of technologies. And these technologies can be deployed, especially with regards to providing support during reporting processes for survivors of gender-based violence, as well as in strengthening the work that the courts are doing with regards to enabling people to testify during incidences where cases are brought before the court. So in terms of 4IR compliance, what is meant there is essentially looking at how we can use all the new technologies that is introduced as a result of the fourth industrial revolution to enable the structures such as the various government departments, civil society, as well as business, to enable them to utilize those technologies to prevent gender-based violence, to report gender-based violence, and to support processes when the cases have been brought to the courts. Then just to indicate that in terms of the bills, from our side, we are confirming that there is a great opportunity as far as communication and digital technologies are concerned with regards to supporting the implementation of the bills. And as a result, we believe that we are ready to do so and that we are able to provide that coordinating support. Noting that communications and digital technologies is an overarching, it's a cross-cutting matter. It's everything and anything that we do has a component of technology in it. And as a result, we believe that opportunity needs to be exploited, and we need to look at how are we able to enable other government departments as well as state-owned entities and civil society to be able to utilize this opportunity that is presented to us through communications, which is formal communications such as through broadcasting, radio, and so on, but also digital technologies, which is the issues relating to the new technologies that we are referring to. And then we also said that there is a need to influence some of the content of the bill to look at these areas, because when we reviewed the amendments, we realized that there isn't a lot in the bill that talks to issues relating to this new technologies, which is understandable because obviously the bill deals with the soft issues relating to abuse and violence and how survivors of these trauma need to be supported and so on. But we would like to note that we think that we need to work on how do we incorporate issues. For example, one of the things that the bills are silent on, which is the original acts are also silent on those, are the issues relating to online violence and cyber violence, where women are also abused online or through technology they are abused. And these are some of the things that we are referring to when we talk about influencing the content of the bill. Then with regards to the issues relating to the electronic communications, communication service providers. So in this instance, we are basically saying that we need to look at how do we ensure that electronic communications providers support the processes, and especially in courts, in terms of the information dissemination, as well as the provision of support to the survivors of gender-based violence during the court processes, because there is a lot of opportunity for that. And as a department, we have done, we have worked in some of these areas where we have enabled, where we have provided rather information on how electronic communications can support these processes. And then lastly, in terms of the readiness, we also felt that with regards to the issues relating to sexual offenses, there is a need for understanding sexual offenses that in terms of it can also be perpetrated online, as I mentioned earlier. And in this regard, we support all the presentations that have been made by other government departments around how online platforms can be utilized more effectively. And as the DCDT, we would like to provide the relevant support in regard to strengthening these platforms that will enable victims of sexual offense or sexual abuse online to have more opportunity to report, but also to feel safe when they are providing information with regards to what has happened to them. Because in this instance, we have to remember that the perpetrator is not necessarily always known. They are not known as in the person doesn't know who it is, but they are not seen. They can hide behind a computer screen in terms of the when they are perpetrating the abuse. And then also it is important to note that in some instances, especially sexual offenses, it commences with the use of technology, where young women, young children are lured into relationships or discussions around sexual interactions online, and then eventually it obviously moves to offline interaction in some cases, where that then leads to human trafficking. And that is why we felt that there's a very important opportunity there to look at how do we support online platforms to enable victims of sexual abuse online to be supported.
You may move to the next slide, please.
The concluding remarks.
So in terms of the concluding remarks, we would like to just emphasize the fact that as the department, we are one of the departments that is expected in terms of the president's announcement around the national strategic plan on combating gender-based violence and femicide. And in that plan, we are specifically responsible, or we've been requested rather, to look at issues relating to prevention as well as to economic empowerment of women in that has found themselves in this situation, as well as obviously men, because it's gender-based violence. And as a result, but the majority of persons that are affected are female, whether they are young people or children or persons with disabilities. So that's the first thing that we wanted to just emphasize in our concluding remarks, is that we will work hard to ensure that we incorporate these issues into all the work that we have within the department, not just as it relates to the work that we do as far as gender equity and women's empowerment is concerned. We also would like to say that the introduction of the amendment bills, as discussed by the committee, basically it is a direct response to the strategic plan, and it will strengthen the implementation of the strategic plan, and it will enable us as government departments to essentially, if I can put it bluntly, take the strategic plan on gender-based violence more seriously. So I think that the bill couldn't have come at a more opportune time in terms of supporting the country's call for the protection of women, youth, and persons with disabilities that are affected by this. And we obviously work very closely with the Ministry of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities as far as this matter is concerned. And then lastly, I think that in terms of the bill, as I indicated earlier, there are no direct obligations to the department, but there are indirect obligations in the context that now electronic platforms and online platforms are being promoted and are being more emphasized, if I can put it that way, in terms of how we must support victims and survivors of gender-based violence. And in that regard, the department therefore takes its obligation very seriously in ensuring that we support the efforts as far as those obligations are concerned, especially around the national register, and also with regards to the expansion of the offences, also with regards to how including an opportunity for a protection order to be developed, not just by the usual people in the past. So in all of those areas, there is an opportunity for us to enable it to happen faster and more effectively through the use of technology. And then these are just some of the areas that we wanted to share. But obviously, as the department, we, as the acting DG indicated earlier, we will continue to engage our state-owned companies to look at their specific strategic plans around how they will be supporting the bill's implementation. But as I noted in my earlier inputs, there are already clear areas where we would like the SOCs to provide support in regards to supporting the bill. And if I then can conclude by just saying that as a department, we are really grateful for the opportunity that we have to present to the committee today. And we also want to emphasize the fact that we are committed to ensuring that the role that the department has to play as far as ensuring that communications and digital technologies enable preventative programs to be successful. Secondly, enables reporting to happen more efficiently and effectively. And thirdly, to support
survivors of gender-based violence in terms of the processes that they would need to undergo post the reporting of the crime. Those are the three areas that the department would be highlighting as our key areas of work. And then lastly, also to empower or to provide power to the women, the young people, and the persons with disabilities and children through skilling them with regards to digital literacy, with regards to how to utilize their digital devices to enable them to do all of the things that I mentioned earlier. So with that, I would like to end it there and thank the committee for this opportunity. And I think it's also very, it's a great honor in the sense that we are doing the presentation on the 25th, which is the beginning of the 16 days of violence against, the combating of violence against women. And in that, we would also like to note that as a department, we work constantly around supporting the initiatives with regards to that through the utilization of technology, because that is our mandate. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lindus. Ms. Lindus, I've noted the following members who would want to ask questions, make comments, and Honorable Mufokeng, Honorable Horn, Honorable Ngola, Honorable Velma Nivo-Trachen, Honorable Breitenbach, in that order. Honorable Mufokeng, Honorable Jelle.
Thank you, Chairman, and thanks for the presentation, and Ms. DG and Ms. Linda. Chair, I still want to go back to that they didn't get to the briefing, because we were expecting to hear that what are they saying with the three bills as individual bills. And you look at the concluding remarks, they are saying the president of the country launched the NSP, we know, on combating gender-based violence. And it further says that the department are obligated to respond to combating gender-based violence in their work and ensure that they incorporate into their own implementation and whatever mandate. I want to say that, Chair, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because we cannot just get this paragraph that says the DCDT in support of the bills. What are you supporting? Firstly, you are telling us about the implementation. Everything that has been said as I listen, Chair, is implementation. It's not for us now. We're expecting them to give an input on the 3G bills. Secondly, they are talking about the economic support, but they can't tell us what was the problem with the current domestic violence with economic abuse. The other thing they're talking about, public education, those are the implementation processes. They are talking about technology, we hear you, but you are not telling us about the online abuse, the disadvantage and advantages of things that we have seen there. You are not talking about human trafficking, but there's human trafficking. This is what we have observed, and as a department, what is it that you are going to do? Because you are supposed to communicate to the nation. You are supposed to be using your resources to make sure that the poor, the old, and the young, the rural, and the urban get access to this information. You are not talking to us about the integrated justice system. What is it that you will do in that system to help other departments? You're not telling us about the National Register of Sexual Offences. Are you supporting it? And if you support it, what are you going to be doing? You are not telling us about the centralized orders. What are you going to be doing? Are you accepting them? And if you're accepting them and you're supporting them, what is it that you are looking at there? The mandatory reporting, it's actually something that is dividing everybody, you know, into the submission. What are you saying? I must say that, Chair, they didn't get the script. Everything that has been said is about the implementation. One wants to understand and respect, Ms. Linda, your understanding into the everything that is there. But everything that has been planned here is the after. We want to know about now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mufokeng. Before I move to Honorable Horn, let me also acknowledge that the acting Director General of the Department of Justice and her team are also present with us, and Parliament, Ms. Lutz, is also present with us to hear what the Department of Communication is saying about these issues of domestic violence. And at some point, I would want to know from the both DJs whether they have been part of the drafting of the bills, or are they commenting after the bills have been drafted? Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, and thank you for that last comment, because I had the sense from certain portions of the presentation that the Department of Communications were unfortunately under the impression that part of their brief for today is to come and influence the content of the bills. So in that regard, I think your question is quite apt and relevant on behalf of the committee. I also want to say that I want to add my voice to the Honorable Mufokeng. And since she has said a lot, I will stick to two issues. The one is that unless I do not understand it correctly, I think what we should hear from the Department of Communications is to what extent will they be willing and able through their programs to communicate and through communications educate the nation about the new provisions in these three bills when they become law. So a big portion of the struggle we have in South Africa is that the fight against gender-based and sexual violence are hampered by the fact that victims are not always knowledgeable about the avenues available to them. And I think one of the reasons why we've asked this department to come here is to tell us in what way they would be able to assist in terms of implementation of these bills when they become law by communicating and educating. But secondly, Chair, the other issue is that if I understand their presentation correctly, and they talk about enabling the fourth industrial revolution, and obviously there can be long conversations and debates. We can have long conversations and debates about whether one can force the fourth industrial revolution and whether one reacts to the fourth industrial revolution and ultimately, in terms of their vision, enables every South African to make use of the fruits of the fourth industrial revolution. So in that regard, I would have hoped that they would have told us that they are able to provide service points and access to technology, specifically for online processes, throughout communities where people do not have, as a matter of course, access of their own to technology and processes or the new online platforms that will come with these bills. So to my mind, I would have hoped to learn from them that they would roll out access points, make available to the community as part of a broader initiative at or near police stations, at the Zela care centers, at our courts even. As part of education and communication regarding the bills. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mola. Honorable Mola, we can hear you. Honorable Mora. We can't hear you. Can we move to Honorable Newgold Drachen? We'll come back to Honorable Mola.
Chair, should Honorable Wilma continue?
Yes. Continue, Honorable Newport Rahan.
Okay. Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much, Chair. And good morning to the department. And good morning to Petronella. This is Wilma Nyuhodrufen using a sign language interpreter. And my interpreter's name is Dolphin. That's the voice that you're hearing. So thank you for the presentation. I would like to add to what my colleagues have said. I'm also disappointed because if I were a victim and I had to hear this presentation, I, you know, as a victim of violence, I don't think I would feel a sense of comfort or satisfaction from this department. And I would like to further say that you speak a lot about the programs, programs that you will do, that you will complete. But we don't know what programs that are completed, that are currently available to support gender-based violence or victims of gender-based violence. We don't know what programs you have in relation to gender-based violence, and there was no clarification about that. And then you know that I always talk about access for people with disabilities. It's ongoing. I have the convention, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. And the first clause is about accessing accessibility for people with disabilities. And during the lockdown period, there wasn't much access to information for people who are deaf and have to hear about coronavirus. DEFSA had to take up that role to provide information and access for people who are deaf using sign language. But there was no access provided. And a few weeks ago, there was a video from NIMSA, and a deaf person sent me this video, and they said they want to know what's in the video, but there was no access, there was no subtitles, there was no sign language interpreter, so the deaf people couldn't access that video. So the concern of subtitles or sign language interpreters in gender-based violence issues, especially for the deaf victims of gender-based violence. There's so little of it, and it really should be included much more. Even with the national broadcast, the SABC, there's much more that needs to be done in terms of access to information about gender-based violence. And then during the process of the bills, when they were drafted, the drafting of the bills, actually just after that, the public hearings that were hosted, there were comments about online stalking, physical stalking, and the definitions related to that. But before the bill goes out to the for public hearings, did the department make any comments to the bills? I mean, yes, you're now speaking about online stalking and such activities, but when the bill was being drafted, did you make any comment or contribution to the perhaps the wording, the definitions? Did you do it or not? And when the department has to educate children, perhaps about online cyberbullying, online bullying. I mean, during the lockdown, a mother of a deaf child told me that the school had to call in the parents because of online bullying. Online bullying, which was happening during classes that were held online. So what is the department doing to spread awareness, spread education to children in terms of things like that? And as the deaf community, we are incredibly disappointed about the education provided for deaf children, like online. Isn't the Department of Communication supposed to assist Department of Basic Education in terms of those, you know, online provisions? And then the minister spoke about rolling out Wi-Fi infrastructure. We are concerned that in this bill, when it is implemented, will the rural areas get access to Wi-Fi, or, you know, this Wi-Fi infrastructure that's supposed to be rolled out? And how will these people get access? I mean, the people in the rural areas do not have easy access to online services. And now the bill's talking about online, doing protection orders online and other such matters. How are the people in the rural areas going to get access? And, you know, the victims of gender-based violence should be getting easier access to all the provisions that are provided for in the bills. I'll leave it there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we go back to Honorable Ngola before we go to Honorable Breitenbach? Is Honorable Ngola back?
Yes, Chair. I hope the tree is better now.
Yeah, yes, no, the tree is better. You have moved.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the speakers before me have covered a lot of issues. It's just a few issues to complement what Honorable Mofokeng, Horn, and Velma have alluded unto. The first of which is the online tracking of perpetrators. It is common cause here that some of the GBV incidences start from social media. Has the department considered assisting us track the perpetrators in the cases where GBV incidences, human trafficking, and other related matters started through the inboxing on Facebook, the DMing on Twitter, and all that? Have they considered that? Are they able within their available resources to help us track those perpetrators who are using the online platforms to perpetrate GBV? The second issue, Chair, is the administration of justice. Part of the risk factors in some of the cases is the evidentiary documentation being lost within the court administration process. The Department of Justice came at some point and made a presentation that they are considering moving towards a paperless administration of justice. Have they been able to engage with the Department of Justice so as to help them better have electronic documentation than the physical paper and hard copy evidentiary material, because it has got a risk of being lost, and when it's lost, it weakens the case against the perpetrator. And when it does, the Justice Department is bound to release the perpetrator back to society. And when it does, it degenerates and deteriorates the confidence our people have in our justice system. Have they been able to engage with the Justice Department around those matters? The last say would, there are known hotspots of GBV in the country. Within their budgetary resource available, have they considered installing cameras in some of the hotspots as piloting the prevention of TBV. That's all, Chair. That's all, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Glenis Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I've been largely covered by the previous speakers. I must say that I'm very disappointed with this presentation, and clearly the point of it was lost. I'm not sure if it's they didn't get a proper brief, or they didn't understand the brief, or whatever the problem is. This presentation does nothing to inform us about the readiness to implement these bills, and I got very little, if anything at all, from this presentation, and I say that with respect. It's a disappointing presentation, and it takes us no further. We frankly may not as well not have had it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Master Bajale.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you to the DG and Ms. Linda for coming and making this presentation. Chairperson, can I switch off my camera? It's also disturbing me. In fact, it's, yeah.
That's fine.
That is, please, Chair. Okay. I think some of the issues that I wanted to raise, they have been covered, particularly by Honorable Velma, on when it comes to the issues of reporting and education. But I want to also ask a question when it comes to we are reported about the danger of children being exposed to these issues online. But if I can hear, what is the view of the department when it comes to parenting, and also, you know, in helping to educate parents when it comes to buying these expensive gadgets to the little ones and those who are still at school, because you find that it's not only those who are at the higher level, the high school, but also in the primary schools, and they use this gadget in front of their parents. Is there anything, maybe a comment that they can come up with on that one? It's just in passing. But also on the issue of, I think you have covered me on this issue of the department and also the relationship with the Department of Justice, because I was going to ask a question as to what is their plan when it comes to working with other departments, because to me this department is key. They have to communicate. Communication is in their area, and communication is very important. We all know that if people are not educated, if people are not communicated to any their department is kind of a tool that is used in assisting to reach for the community. But I didn't hear exactly, because they do say that they will be working with these other departments. But I can't get exactly how are they going to get to hold of those departments in terms of making sure that their work is coordinated and communicated in a unified manner. Okay. And also earlier in the presentation, Ms. Linda also mentioned the issue of a coordinated structure within their department. Kind of it is the structure that will be dealing with these issues. I would say maybe in my own understanding that it is the structure that will be looking into those issues, the issues of gender-based violence, and making sure that there is progress in terms of work in that area. But I wanted to find out, Chair, that who sits, according to them, who sits in that committee or structure, and at what level? Because, Chairperson, my worry is that departments have been assigning people to these structures. And you find that these people are people who are not having an influence within the department. They just sit there, and when they have to go back and report, they are not listened to, and the information is just of not important, and everybody continue as they've been doing their things without taking notice of issues that are coming to that committee. That is the issues, because most of the issues, like Chairperson, I said I was covered. I'm covered. Thank you very much.
Well, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just before you respond, DG and your team, there is a lot of emphasis on the fourth industrial revolution from your presentation. But part of what is the challenge is that we have a violent society. And in this case, this violence is perpetrated against women, children, and elderly people. But generally, our society is very violent. Now, you, as part of your oversight, you have the SABC that you should be engaging, because part of the problem is that our people are exposed to serious violence in terms of the feelings that are being flighted. Not only by the SABC, but even by the others. And there is no indication, because for us to be able to win this war against gender-based violence and violence in general, we have to re-engineer our society to a particular direction. Now, if you have all these feelings, whether it's under DSTV or it's under SAPC, these violent feelings, what value system are we instilling in society? And to what an extent are you engaging them to ensure that ourselves, our children, watch feelings that are geared towards building a better society, not a violent society. Even if you look at the viewership of the films, I think even, I mean, I know it is not directly under control, but you could engage them, but because it's part of the industry that you have oversight of. Most of the films that are under DSTV, women are being projected as drug lords, there's generally violence. To be at the helm of being a drug lord is a sign of an achievement. There are such films, and they've got higher viewership, which brings me to that point that we need to re-engineer our society differently. And what is the department doing to ensure that we have this conversation with the industry as a whole? Because the industry generally is promoting a view that to be violent, it makes you to be successful. Violence is sexy. And the issue of gender-based violence then becomes a byproduct of that violent society. And the SAPC and the MNET and all of those, they are buying those films. So they're encouraging that kind of a behavior. If, for instance, you listened to the opening, the opening remarks in Gomorrah, something to the extent that people, they want this lifestyle, but because they've got no courage, which means they've got no courage to be criminals, therefore they won't get it. So what there are a lot of people who are watching that. What society are you building? And I was expecting that as part of the oversight function that you do, that there are serious engagements with the industry in general as to what is their contribution towards eradication of violence and specifically gender-based violence. To what an extent have you engaged the your mobile industries to ensure that, for instance, the president has ensured that there is this coronavirus app? What are the applications that can be downloaded free of charge that people who are victims of gender-based violence can use as part of the contribution that the industry would have had to ensure that you don't need data? Because if your husband is beating you up, you do have a cell phone, you do have a smart cell phone, but you can't phone because you have no data, which is part of the economic inequalities that various members have raised here, it becomes a challenge. So broadly, to what an extent have you engaged the industry on that? And I think going back to the first question, I do think that we were expecting a form of an operational plan that, based on these clauses in the gender-based violence, this is going to be our responses. This is what the SAPS did and the other departments to respond to the specific clauses that if this clause is passed, this is our approach, this is our state of readiness, and we are not getting that. I do think that the department, as part of the ministry, they did see the draft bills. They went through the DG's cluster, and then they went through the subcommittee in cabinet, and then the bills were passed by cabinet before they came here. So it can't be an opportunity now to critique and to have suddenly new views or new ideas when you had an opportunity to input throughout the process. We don't accept that. We want government to act in an integrated form. This silo mentality, it's not good for service delivery. It's time consuming, it's time wasting. Over to you, TJ.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. Chair, I will try to first start off with the responses. Then I'm on the call. I have Ms. Petronella Linders, and I have DDG Mashulog and Mr. Teho, who's our legal expert. I wouldn't like the committee to be under the impression that we were not consulted. We were consulted. And actually, when the presentation started and we're trying to set the context of where we're coming from, the DOC, as it was, the Department of Communications, had the following entities: had FPB, had SAPC, had GCIS, had Brand SA, had MPDA. And insofar as that side of the department as it then was at GCIS, we were very much involved even on the cyber security bill, and the team here worked very closely with the Department of Justice. So I do not want to leave the meeting with the impression that we were not consulted. And if that is the impression, it's not meant to be that way. The comment that has been made around the issue around technology, we welcomed it. Ours was saying that because we have now 11 entities, and we recognize that some of the entities were not exposed to the work that is done by this committee. And when I say other entities, just think about it this way. I heard the questions by Honorable Mola around installation of CCTV cameras. As a department, those kind of things, we have to work with CETA. CETA has to advise ASEP as to how this has to be implemented and how ready it is. And that is what the context of where we are coming from. I know, Chairperson, for instance, just to your last question that you were asking around the issues of the films, we have the Film and Publication Board. I see even Honorable Nivolt here, she made a comment about it, but now I cannot see it. She wrote here, Nivolt Rachen, she said, can I ask the role of the Film and Publication Board in desires of the fight against gender-based violence? The Film and Publication Board is still under the OC. They are actually the main driver of communication around online content. They are the main driver of educating children and vulnerable groups insofar as undesirable content and insofar as gender-based violence. But they don't do this alone. Even today, Deputy Minister is there in Cape Town to actually showcase the work of FPB. FPB is a very small entity and it does rely a lot on partnerships. When I say partnerships, I'll make the example that Honorable Nivolt made around online and also the talks around during lockdown. We did receive the concerns that came from the deaf community during lockdown. We set up a PMO just to respond to issues of every vulnerable group in the community. And then we found that in South Africa, unless, for instance, if you are looking at international benchmarking, you do not have the actual caption as the president is speaking. That was the main concern that people had during the speeches of the president and the ministers. And we did, made a response and we said, look, at this point, our technology that we have does not allow that when the person speaks, that the auto captioning is actually captured and momentarily. It does that when it's pre-recorded. As a result, we said to SABC, let us improve moving forward. Then I know that the questions that we asked as well is the question around to what extent did we as the department influence the bill? I think I have responded to that. And if my colleagues think that there's a question that I have missed, they must say so. But that's why I wanted to talk about the work that we do with the Film and Publication Board. And that is why we say at the last sentence that we still want to come before this committee to actually say, this is how all of the entities are supporting the bills. Because the bills are not only supported by the department, but we do that through our implementing agencies, which are the bills. Even the course that was spoken about NEMISA. NEMISA is trying new technology, wherein they have this, because you would recall before, we used to have physical classes. Now they are moving from physical classes to online classes. And they slow the videos of how they are coming out, but it's because it only started during lockdown. And I'm not making an excuse, but I'm just saying we are responding to all the bills, but we are not responding alone. We are responding, being supported by the entities. Hence, Honorable Velma actually knew that this is the work that we do with the Film and Publication Board. So, Chair, I will ask especially Tejo and Petronella to respond to some of the questions in case I missed any other issue, because I was trying to say that we are doing public education as the examples that I was making. So over to you, Petronella and Tsego.
Thank you, Chair. This is Petronella Lindis speaking. I'd like to just indicate that I think the acting DG has covered most of the questions, but just to respond to some of the issues that was raised with regards to the programs that have been implemented or that are implemented in supporting issues relating to online abuse. I think that as the department, we have a overarching program that deals with child online protection that is about looking exactly at how children are being supported in terms of understanding the risks when they are online, as well as the benefits of being online. And in this program, there was a question around support to parents. There is also a focus on parents in terms of helping them to understand how to participate and support their children in digital environment, obviously age appropriate in relation to, because children are defined as 0 to 18 in South Africa. So obviously the program focuses on age appropriate interventions for the parents as well as for the children. And this we do in a coordinated fashion with other government institutions as well as private sector and also civil society. Then also just to indicate with regards to educating and raising awareness around what is available to persons when it comes to the support that they can receive. I think with regards to that, we have also implemented a number of interventions around working with, for example, Childline SA with regards to strengthening the work that they do in raising awareness around cyberbullying, as well as how instances of cyberbullying can be reported. So that was just responding to the questions around what is it that we are doing or what is it that we have been doing in supporting raising awareness with regards to victims of abuse. Then with regards to the issues raised in relation to the violent society and how we engage as a society, I think that the acting DG has indicated the role of the Film and Publication Board. And I think the chair was asking also around how do we engage our mobile operators and how do we engage the broadcasters. In that regard, I would like to note that we also have a program where we engage the civil society and the stakeholders around understanding the various pieces of legislation and policy that governs what we view as society. And it's important to note that in the South African context, children are protected in terms of what they can view, but adults obviously have the right to view what they want to view. But having said that, I think the acting DG did indicate with regards to the work that the Film and Publication Board is doing in monitoring what films do get displayed to the public, and they do the work in regards to looking at that. And then also in terms of the questions that was asked with regards to deaf persons and how we have supported deaf people, I think or persons that has that's hard of hearing or deaf, in terms of those programs, we have worked with schools for the deaf, where we looked at providing them with information around how they are able to access the reporting platforms, how they can protect themselves should they be victims of abuse. And then lastly, just to indicate, to respond to the question around the brief and do we work with other government departments. As a department, we are part of the integrated committee that the Ministry for Women, Youth and Children have set up in terms of working around issues relating to gender equity and implementing the National Strategic Plan. And in those processes, we have participated and we have
provided inputs in relation to some of the issues that was raised. But I would like to say that we acknowledge the fact that what we have done might not be sufficient and it might not be in line with what the committee expects of us. And in that regard, we welcome all the comments that have been made by the committee in relation to the content of the presentation. And we will obviously review all of it in line with what the acting DG has said with our state-owned entities, as well as with other government departments that we work with in the area of gender-based violence, or rather supporting survivors of gender-based violence through technology. Yeah, I think I will end it at that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other responses?
Chair, Wilma?
Before Honourable Nivot Drahan, I would want to satisfy myself that there are no other responses from the department.
I'm here, Chairperson. I'm here. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honourable Nivot.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, and good morning to the Honourable members and colleagues. Chairperson, I'm Tsehofatso Kharabe from the Legal Services. Chairperson, I just want to indicate that I've been involved in the process of drafting the Films and Publication Bill. In fact, I've been working together with colleagues from Department of Justice. So the bill that we are referring to, basically, Chairperson, it was approved by both houses, National Council of Provinces and also the National Assembly. It was signed by the President. We're just only waiting for the President to determine the date in which it will come into operation. Just to be brief, Honorable Chair, one of the problems that led to establishment of the bill is that there were no enforcement mechanism that can deal with issues where someone has posted illegal content. The other one is that there were no online regulation that can easily protect children, even consumers, from harmful, undesirable
maybe
content.
You must close your bandwidth is low.
Chairperson?
Just close your video.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. You indicated if I'm audible. Yes, like I'm saying, the challenges that led to the promulgation of these films and publication is that there were no adequate remedies that are available in the instances where someone has posted illegal and undesirable and even harmful content that affects the children. So if there was any illegal content on social media platform or what, there was no remedy for that. So there were challenges which led to that. So the aim of the bill, in short, that drafted Chairperson, is to protect the children from the exposure of the online content, such as pornography, sex, violence, even the premature exposure that could have adverse effects psychologically and even on other behavioral aspects. So in other words, Chairperson, with that, the bill aims to decriminalize this online distribution of this content. Because now it's very difficult. If someone has posted something on social media, it's not simple to get an action that will instruct that person to remove such harmful content. So that is more or less the intention of the bill. And we, even before the bill approved by the National Assembly, we were working together with the Justice. I see my colleague Saral from Justice is also here, because they also gave us our comments that we also incorporated in our bill, so that to make it simple for them when they deal with the prosecution part of it, because one of the way it was, I remember there was child pornography, that we had to align it with their legislation so that they can simply prosecute. But in conclusion, Chairperson, we also conducted socioeconomic impact assessment. The results of the socioeconomic assessment on the bill reveals that the bill is going to protect the children from these online distributors of films and game is going to enable the law enforcement agencies through the bill to prosecute effectively the perpetrators of this. Even furthermore, the victims of the revenge pornography, and which in our view will apply to gender-based violence, will have the recourse and mechanism in terms of the bill, because they're empowered here through digitally to raise complaints. In fact, in the bill, we have established the enforcement committee that is going to sit and adjudicate on the complaints, that is even going to monitor that, which in our view, Chairperson, I think it's applicable to the situation that we are currently facing. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nivot Rahan.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the responses. I'm not completely satisfied with the responses, but thank you nonetheless. I would just like to add to what the Chairperson has asked with regard to the mobile operators. When Chairperson asked with regard to the mobile operators, now the President, when he notified the nation about this second pandemic, which he said that gender-based violence is the second pandemic, but coronavirus was obviously the first. Now, there was a WhatsApp group where we can ask various informations or some information with regard to coronavirus. Now, because gender-based violence is the second pandemic, isn't there no WhatsApp for gender-based violence issues where we can assist or get help, we can get into contact, because that WhatsApp is a fast medium. Now, everyone in South Africa has cell phones. Not necessarily access, but they do have phones. Now, access to phones relating to gender-based violence, I think more, we need to look at what more can be done. So for example, right in the beginning, I used to be, since 1999, I was in the communications committee, and right at the beginning, I said, a deaf person should be able to send an SMS for help. Like when you call the hotline for deaf people, they should be able to send a message. And that problem, nobody has responded to with regard to SMS. So I was expecting and I was hoping with coronavirus, more and more people are using WhatsApp, that it's more and more, that people are more able to make video calls, or, you know, if those services are currently there, why can't we make those resources available for GBV? Is there no way that we can find a way? Then, Chair, maybe for the committee to consider, we've heard a lot about the CETA. The CETA is responsible for electronic devices and communications and all of that, but we never got a presentation from them. So maybe if the committee can consider getting CETA, what they are doing with regard to resources in terms of prevention of gender-based violence. Then I forgot to add something with regard to the cell phones. I don't make voice calls, obviously, but the cell phone has an emergency call. You know, when your phone is off, you can make an emergency call. You can press SOS. But something like that for gender-based violence, an emergency call, can it be done? Has the department spoken with the different cell phone operators about things like that by using these emergency ways of calling when gender-based violence happens? And I'm not satisfied with the issue of the subtitle and the captioning or the department's response. I'm not satisfied, but we'll leave it there. But I don't get access to TV. If there's no subtitles, I always go to YouTube, right? The same program that's shown on TV, I check whether it's on YouTube, and there are captions and there are subtitles. But I have that access. Many of our people don't have that kind of access, and they depend heavily on what is shown on TV. We can't hear things that are on the radio, but if the same program is on YouTube, like Seminar, and you know, things like that, Mubangu, whatever, it's on YouTube and it's subtitled there. Can't the department find a way to use the same technology for TV? I know you can, because the technology has been improving for the past 20 years. It can be done. So can we look at something like that in the same way? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Newport, Department.
Chairperson, that is the only follow-up. Thank you very much. Chairperson, yes, I hear the issue that has been raised by Honorable Newport. I just wanted to say, indeed, there is that technology. However, because you have a public broadcaster that is still on an analog system, which analog system does not allow for that auto captioning at that particular point. But you would note that there is, for instance, for pre-recorded programs, they will have the subtitling, but for programming such as the programs that happen at this particular point, let's say news and the likes, they will not have that. And then for other programs such as the Seven Delane and other soapies that are happening on TV, they will only do the translation services that are available. But insofar as the technology, we even asked during this period of COVID with Centec, the signal distributor. Centec actually said to us, because we're moving to, it is possible, but because we're moving from analog to the digital era, it is not actually, because you only, it's not possible to just buy. It's almost like on radio when you buy something for AM, knowing that AM is being phased out in South Africa. So we did ask that. Then the question on the issue of WhatsApp. So what we have done, Honorable Newport, during COVID, we've asked all departments that were impacted by COVID, such as Department of Health, Department of Education, you name it. And we said, all the time, we said, tell us your requirements from our sector. Basic thing, application for numbers, application for emergency numbers, application for WhatsApp number, insofar as reporting the fake news and the things that were happening during COVID. So the department will apply, because it happens with one of our entities, which is ICASA, and then ICASA would say, yes, the number is available. No, the number is not available. So that is what we have been doing from our side through the PMO and proactively assisted. Yes, I take the point that there are areas that we may need to improve on, but we did make, we're still making the offer that ICASA is there, and when people do not know how to get to ICASA for numbers and the services that are offered, we will be doing that. Just share just a very simple example that we did for purposes of COVID-19. The SA coronavirus website, for example, a lot of people would not know that the SA coronavirus did not was not hosted by a government department. We had to invoke CETA to say CETA, the SA, because we wanted the SA coronavirus to be the first website that you see when you go into any domain name in South Africa. CETA, let's engage with Department of Health so that this website is owned by a Department of, it was owned by a third party. And fortunately, because domain names also belong within DCTT, which is dot, it's domain dot Zedna, the domain name South Africa belongs within DCTT. That took a while, but we managed to get it. All I'm saying, we do not have the all the answers in one go, Honorable Chair and members, but wherein we see an opportunity that we can assist and we can be able to say, this is the gap that is there. Chair?
Didi, can you close your video? Your bandwidth, can you close your video? Your bandwidth is low.
Oh, thank you. So sorry, Pretoria problems. Thank you for that, Chair. So Chair, I just wanted to make the kind of, because we have done even how we say, how we are going to move forward this during this post COVID. So in terms of our engagements with the various government departments, insofar as what we are offering. When I say we, because it's not DCDT, it's our entities as to what enabling environment can be realized, and that enabling environment is there. Hence the examples that are being made that we're saying SAPC is there, but we can only make it better, all of us, in terms of they're supposed to register their films to make sure that before you watch a film, they inform you. When you're watching the news, they tell you, Chair, that the video that is about to be shown is not palatable for you to be watching it with children. That sort of a scenario has to be also be applicable when it comes to the films that they show, and we have the film in publication doing that. So on the actual programs, Chair, that is why I am saying I'm still asking yourself and the committee to say, because of how we are placed as a department, we want to showcase what each and every entity has done in terms of readiness. And we want to show and say, this is what SCTA is doing. This is, and we're not saying they're perfect, and we're saying there is room for improvement, but this is the gateway to what they are doing at this point. Hence, we're emphasizing the whole issue of why. There was a question, Chair, around Twitter and all those people on Facebook. Through SCB, we have a partnership that we used during COVID, wherein instead of waiting for somebody to do something wrong, the moment we learn that a Mr. Mashalogo has done something wrong, one thing, we would just write to Facebook. Facebook will just take it down. Because remember, Facebook, we cannot stop a person before they do something. It's more of a relation that says, take it down the moment we see it. Take down the fake news. Take down the rape that is being shown on that video. Hence, we created a platform that is a WhatsApp platform. And then we realized our weaknesses and during COVID, and we partnered with civil society, and we said, let's partner with civil society because they have a strength in areas that we do not have a strength in terms of monitoring what is happening online, because we were not proactively that ready in terms of monitoring fake news. And we made that partnership. Until today, Chairperson, what's the differ on a number of issues? We agree on one thing, fake news, disinformation, and not undesirable content in our on our social media pages in South Africa. So that is what we are doing, Chair. Yes, we are ready to improve, but that is at this point, Chair. I just wanted to leave the committee with that there is this work that we're doing as the CCT, and we can showcase that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, DJ. We would discuss that as part of our programming, because as you would know that the year is coming to have made of showcasing all your entities and how ready they are for the implementation of the 3GPV bills. We'll discuss it. We'll get back to you as soon as we are done with the discussions. But it will obviously not be this year, it will be next year, which would give you enough time. So do we decide that we would want to invite you back to coordinate with them, because our expectations was that as the parent department, you would coordinate with all of your entities and speak on behalf of the entities, because we are not the main committee that is doing oversight over communication. We are just looking for a specific area with specific, in fact, with limited time frames to pass the bills. Maybe some of the issues that for ongoing oversight, we would forward some of the issues to the relevant portfolio committees to continue to look at them as part of their oversight over
various departments and entities. But we will discuss as a committee, and we will advise you accordingly. Honorable Newbold, you were raising something. Okay. So thank you very much, DG, and to your team. We will revert back to you as to whether we would want to call you back with your entities, or we would refer to some of these issues to the Portfolio Committee on Communications for continuous implementation. But we do also want to inform you that for the 3GPP bills, at regular intervals, we will still inform us on the implementation issues, because we do also have clauses in the bill. By the time we packed, some of them would have slightly changed or completely preparations on the implementation by various departments might need to be readjusted. But we will continue to, as part of our monitoring mechanism, just to monitor the implementation specifically on the 3GPP bills, working, of course, together with the relevant portfolio committees. Thank you very much, Acting DG, and to your team.
Thank you, Chair. I was trying to respond to Honorable Newbold on this side. I'll do so. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think we are done with this issue, members, unless there are members who want to raise something before we move to the next item. I think we are done. Let's deal with the issue that was raised by Honorable Breitenbach, supported by Honorable Sal. DG, communications, you are excused. You can go back to do other issues and negotiate the SABC issues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and DG Justice, I think also with your team, I don't think that there is, maybe let me not preempt. You can stay 5 minutes or so. Let me not preempt what would, but communications is excused. Let's hear Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the issues that I wanted to raise is the issue that was raised by the Honorable Horn. Friday is problematic for us for a variety of reasons. And also the Section 25 committee is now, I see, also scheduled to sit. And it's just that the short notice is problematic because prior arrangements are entered into on the expectation that the day will be free, and then things get scheduled and it becomes difficult to prioritize all of them being very important issues. So, while I understand the difficulties and our desire to use our time optimally, which I support, when one is committed to something up front and then the program changes, you have to let somebody down. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to meet all of the responsibilities if the program doesn't have some sort of stability, not only this committee, but other committees as well. And I'm sure that you are finding the same difficulty, and other members who sit on other committees are having the same problem. Things are crammed in almost last minute, and then you have to you have to decide which committee you're going to attend, but it inevitably means that you're not available for another committee. So that remains problematic. Then to the issue of the Correctional Council, the letter that we received from the minister. It was distributed to members. As I understood our discussion and arrangement, and correct me if I was wrong, the committee was going to deliberate over, or at least have a discussion over who we thought was suitable. As I understand that letter, the appointments have already been made. Now, this is the same problem we had with the previous minister. He made the appointments, he just informed the committee. I'm not sure that that's the correct path, and I'm not quite sure that's what we as a committee envisioned. My understanding was that we would be more actively involved in recommending or putting forward some names. I'm not sure if that letter is a final letter, because it's some pages, it's not signed by anybody. It's in sort of in the middle of nowhere. And it's again an example of unsatisfactory correspondence from the minister's office. And I know that I still owe you a different letter, which I will forward to you, I forgot. So please help me with the process that we're going to be following there, but that's not how I understood what the committee had decided. And then there's the issue of the report by the by Correctional Services. I see they now have committed to a date on the 27th, which is, of course, a problematic date for us. But Chair, at the last time when they were not ready, specifically Honourable Horn raised the issue of them never being ready. And I'm always asking for postponements and not getting the stuff done on time. And Mr. Fraser at that meeting undertook to be ready on the due date. And now they weren't ready. And just to send a letter and say, well, we were busy with whatever, is not really acceptable in my view, Chair. This happens on a regular basis with monotonous regularity as far as DCS is concerned. And I don't think that we should accept this constantly, I'm not ready and I'll come when I am. They must get it done by the due date. It's a constant problem with DCS, and I really do think that we should address it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kirchenbach. I hear the voice of Honorable Mufokeng. Am I correct? But I don't see the hand up there. Okay, Honorable Mufokeng.
I'm sorry, Chair. Chair, no I problem. Just want to check with this letter. The letter that the Honorable Bechenberg is talking about, it's not signed. And this letter is talking about everything. So can we be clarified as, she explained, but just to start with the clarification of this, what was the purpose of this letter that is not signed?
Thank you very much. I think let me start with the issue of the Friday. We in our start plan early this year, one of the issues that we emphasized was certainty of the program properly. And I think even
apologies, Chair, you're breaking up really badly. Can't hear you.
If honorable members the same point that okay, maybe let me close my video. Members, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I think there's a network issue. The Pretoria issue, as the acting DG of communication was alluding to. Members, I was saying that let's start with the Friday issue. And I was saying that in our plan, that one of the issues, there must be certainty in our program. And if members remember, is one of the issues that I was raising with the ministry last week, that if there is no certainty as to when things come to us by when, it's difficult for us to plan, because we are one of the committees that are having a very difficult program. Balancing justice and correctional services, it's an impossible task. Now, any inconsistency in the program just makes things worse. But in this instance, what has happened, we are informed that we're supposed to have had this meeting with the Department of Correctional Services yesterday. And seemingly, the AG had not yet finished briefing them. In fact, had not yet okayed their books. And the minister was supposed to be briefed late yesterday. And then they asked for a postponement for Friday. But I am informed, before we started the meeting, that despite the fact that they have asked for a postponement until Friday, they have not yet tabled. Now, it would be unfair to hold members not to attend to properly scheduled meetings and wait for something that might not be tabled, because before the meeting started, they had not yet tabled. So I do think that members, for the Friday's ones, maybe let's try and squeeze them before we adjourn, and really do address the issues that Honorable Breitenbach is raising. Because the Section 25 committee is an important committee in Parliament, we all know, and all committees are important, especially if they are properly scheduled. Now, we cannot in good conscience say to members, don't go to your prior arrangements on the basis of something that has not even been tabled. But I was saying to the secretariat, because they've asked for Friday, we are hoping that they would table by then. Let's do it by Friday, because we thought that everybody is going to be available. But for the fact that they have not yet tabled, I don't think that we should hold other portfolio committees to ransom. It's something that we should continue deal with. I think we should continue deal with it, and they will really have to explain what happened. So my view, members, is that maybe the Friday's meeting should not proceed, but we look at next week as to how do we ensure that we have a date that is fixed, so that people can plan properly. As much as Honorable Breitenbach hates inconsistent programs, I hate them more. And I always feel very bad if there is a need to do counseling and a program keeps on chopping and changing. I just hate it. I don't like that because it does communicate something to people that you don't respect their own time and you don't respect even yourself. I really do not like it. I don't like it. I don't like programs that keep on chopping and changing. But we have been having situations that are really imposing themselves on us. And I think we have to be firmer than we are to ensure that people know that there are consequences for not meeting deadlines. But in this case, part of the problem was that the Office of the Auditor General did not finish on time to audit them. But can we suggest? In fact, can we come back to members by tomorrow as to a proposed date for correctional services? Is that acceptable, members?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I will all find that one.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And then, coming back to the issue raised by Honorable Breitenbach, I will go back to the day I was elected as the chair of the committee. Honorable Horn raised an issue, and we committed ourselves that we will ensure that it happens in the manner in which he raised it. He said we must ensure that correspondence that come, members are served timeously with that correspondence. So there is no correspondence that is hidden from members. I think Honorable Horn, if it's my recollection of what you raised.
Absolutely, Chair. Your recollection is spot on.
Yes. So there is no correspondence that would come, especially that affects the working of the committee that I will not bring to your attention. And this is what we have done. With the secretariat, we took a decision that we have to ensure that members received this information. With respect to the quality that the letter is unsigned and it's a spreadsheet, it's not the CVs that were requested. I want to assure members that the section that governs this process, I think section 83 or 82 or 82 subsection 3H, which says that the appointment of the four members must be in consultation with the committee. We will leave with the letter and the spirit of that act. We have a responsibility in terms of that act that when we agree, because it requires of us that there has to be a concurrence, we are equally responsible in the same manner as the minister is responsible. If, for instance, we appoint or we concur to the appointment of Magwanishe to be in that council, and 5 months down the line, it is found that Magwanishe has criminal record, we would have abdicated our responsibility. We would be found to be in dereliction of duty. There is no way that Parliament can concur to something, because we are using a power of the people given to us to
to say we agree. And that cannot come without application of mind. That can't happen. Now, the application of mind means that every information that has to be at your disposal for you to make that decision has to be at your disposal. You cannot apply your mind from the air. If this information does not come forth, the committee cannot concur. Simple as that. The committee cannot concur. This is the power that has to be used by a committee. It's a power given to us in trust. And the people of South Africa are expecting us to use and apply ourselves judiciously to our work. There is no way that we are going to make decisions on the basis of information that is insufficient. Because there is no way that we'll be able to justify that in any other forum, that we just rubber stamped something when the act is specific that we must concur. And the meaning of concur means that there has to be an agreement. And you can't agree to something that you do not understand. You cannot agree to something that you do not understand. We have to take the power given to us by the people of South Africa seriously, for us to be taken seriously. Unless we get proper information, I don't see without proper information being given to us. And we will not use in consultation and after consultation interchangeably. They are not the same, and they will not be the same. I think, honorable members, it's that is the explanation. That is how I see. I'm not sure what is the view of other members.
I agree with you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Are we all fine, members? Is there a difference? Honorable Ngola?
Yes, sir.
Wrong tree again.
Honorable Ngola?
Yes, sir.
Did you raise your hand, or did you want to speak?
No, sir. I was saying what you have just outlined is giving us direction on how we're going to deal with the matters that are raised by Honorable Brayton Barr. I just came to agree with what you.
Back under the tree. Honorable Ngola, can you move from that tree? Okay, there is Honorable Breitenbach's hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also just wanted to inquire on an unrelated matter. The Grant Thornton report that you requested from Justice, I think today is the last day of the deadline that you gave them. Can you tell me whether we've got that report or have we still not received it?
We said 2 weeks, ne?
I think you said 1 week.
We said 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I think the DG, is the DG still around? Is the DG still around? No. Okay. So in the absence of a contrary view, can we agree, members, that this is how we are going to process the matter?
Yes.
So we will come back to you on the possible date next week for correctional services. And if we don't get satisfactory information on the council, we will not process it. And in fact, it's one thing that I forgot to say. I was further advised that the law stipulates that relevant committees, so it is not only us, it should also be the NCOP committee. So thank you very much, honorable members. So we will meet next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.